All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In his name, we'll start another edition of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Khalif Zam radio station, Halle City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. As you know, in this series of the programs, we are mainly concerned with the lives, biography, and works of the most important and highlighting luminaries and dignitaries, specifically the Persian, Muslim, and Shiite one in different fields of studies all around the world. With the presence of Dr. Fakhr Rouhani. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani is currently the faculty member of University of Qom. He got his PhD in the field of linguistics from the University of Tehran and is specialized in the field of Quranic studies, Ahl-e Bayt lecture, and Ashura lecture. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, for accepting our invitation again to the studio of the Khalif Zam radio station. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, as we remember last session, we talked about the life, in fact, the family background, childhood, and adulthood of Avicenna, mainly known as Ibn Sina or Sheikh al-Rais Abu Ali Sina, in Persian Arabic language. But this session, we want to be mostly concerned with the specific fields of a study Avicenna was interested in and the progresses and improvements he made in these fields and the influences he had on the, we can say, upcoming philosophers, practitioners, and different scholars from different fields of studies. Before getting to this field, I would like to say that Abu Ali Sina was born in the year 980 and is considered as most outstanding peripatetic philosopher and physician of Iran all around the world. At the age of 18, he said, according to his claims, that he has studied all the mastered all the sciences of his time. And he says that during that period, he had excellent memory knowledge. And, at the age of 20 also, he left Bukhara for Khwarazm. And, Avicenna was traveling and commuting a lot from different cities to cities. And this is interesting about his life that although he was traveling and commuting by, but he had nice experiences writing, translating, and compiling different books. His main interests were Islamic medicine, alchemy and chemistry in Islam, Islamic astronomy, Islamic ethics, Islamic philosophy, logic and Islamic philosophy, geography, mathematics in the Indian tradition, Islamic psychological thought, physics, Persian poetry, science, kalam, and paleontology. And he's considered as the father of modern medicine and concept of momentum, father of Avicennism logic, psychoanalysis, pioneer of aromatherapy and neuropsychiatry, an important contributor to geology. As you said, on that time, Avicenna mastered all the sciences, all the best and all the, the most crucial sciences of his time. He had mastery all over them because he was linked to a religious root. And he was very much, influenced by Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, and the Shiite studies. This session, we want to be mainly concerned with his specialties, okay? Let's start with, his most important book, The Canon of Medicine, which is mainly known in the European language as the pioneering book in the pharmacology and medicine. And after we get to the other fields of studies and other, important Avicenna's works and books. Okay, Dr. Bach.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. According to authentic historical records, Avicenna's book, The Canon of Medicine, was the second book published in Europe after the Bible, after the invention of printing press by Gutenberg in Germany.
That's right.
This shows the high authority of his book in Europe, and it indicates that his book must have long been translated into the Latin language as the academic lingua franca of medieval Europe, and it must have been in vogue much earlier to the extent that, according to some records in the history of medicine in Europe, one of the causes of Europeans' interest in learning the Arabic language was that Avicenna's book, Al-Qanun Fattab, the Canon of Medicine, was in the Arabic language. Due to this fact, I mean, that the book, Avicenna's book, was in the Arabic language, for at least 300 years in European universities, good knowledge of the Arabic language at the level of translation from Arabic into other European vernaculars or even from Arabic into Latin was an academic prerequisite in attaining the professorship posts in European universities. And this shows the great historical debt of Western academical circles to Avicenna, and the profound impact of Avicenna's on Western intellectual development. Okay, I should like to say that concerning the canon of medicine, as completed by the late Avicenna, I should like to say that even nowadays, European universities and museums are proud to have copies of his book, first and foremost in original Arabic, or if not, in translation. However, I should like to say that about 100 treatises were ascribed to Avicenna. Some of them are tracts of a few pages, others are works extending through several volumes. And the best known example of Avicenna's works is his 14-volume The Canon of Medicine.
That's right.
Okay. And the word qanun is basically a Greek word. I mean, the word al-qanun is the Arabicized pronunciation of the original Greek word.
That's right.
And again, this Greek word, after it entered, after it was borrowed into the Arabic language, it went to European, it made its way into European vernaculars and languages, chiefly due to the this book of Avicenna, the Canon of Medicine, such that the word canon in most European languages and also in English, it means measure or yardstick.
That's right.
It was a standard medical text in Europe and also in the Islamic world up until the 18th century, but I should like to say that no, until much later, it was still regarded as an authority and as a ultimate book.
Okay, Dr. Fakhrani, you know, the canon of medicine was a pioneer in the field of medicinal and medical studies in the Western world, and the Western way of thought, especially in the field of medicine, improved a lot through the translation of these books from the Arabic into the French one into the Latin one. But what is this book mainly about? Is it about the medicine, or what kind of medicine do you mean?
This book is both about medicine and pharmacology.
Right.
Because in those days, these two branches of knowledge were not separated as today they might be.
That's
or
right.
They might seem. Okay? Because in the past, physicians believed that doctors must know pharmacology enough in order to prescribe medicine for the patients.
Okay.
Now, the book, I mean, The Canon of Medicine, is known for its introduction of systematic experimentation and quantification into the study of physiology, the discovery of contagious diseases and sexually transmitted diseases as well. As it's indicated in some documents, he contributed to the study of experimental medicine, clinical trials, neuropsychiatry, and risk factor analysis, and also the idea of syndrome in the diagnosis of specific diseases.
That's right, Dr. Fakhrani. The classification of diseases into different parts and categories was very nice in that time, because maybe when we say disease, but disease has maybe the same root, but with different names and under the tonsils. This was interesting about Avicenna, categorizing the diseases different parts. What are the roots, what are the causes, and what are the medicines now, okay?
Yes.
And Avicenna was also, very, very much interested in the hygiene.
Yes.
Hygiene, the public hygiene at that time. What about this time?
Yes. The book classifies and describes diseases and outlines the assumed causes. Interestingly, hygiene, simple and complex medicines, and functions of parts of the body, as it's indicated in
That's
these sources, are also covered. Actually, in doing so, Avicenna is credited as being the first person or the first expert to correctly document the anatomy of the human eye,
right,
along with the
yeah.
descriptions of the afflictions.
Very good.
I mean, related to the eye.
That's right.
And sight.
That's right. Cataracts, in fact.
Yes.
Cataracts was the part Avicenna was very much interested in fact, in the anatomy of the eye.
Yes.
He certainly was interested in the practical one, not theoretical one.
Yes.
I mean, somehow nowadays they do it, even the, the interns and the students of the medicine do it in the practical way. He certainly
yes.
did it maybe on some of the corpse, on the anatomy of the eye or something like that, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
No, he was a really knowledgeable person. And the book, I mean, the Canon of Medicine, asserts that tuberculosis was contagious, which was later disputed by some European scholars, but
right.
finally they turned out that what Avicenna had
said
already
true,
remarked
right.
was true, and they were wrong. Okay.
That's right.
Actually, the book also talks about some symptoms and complications of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and also both forms of the facial paralysis. Were also described in depth and in detail.
That's right.
Okay? In addition, the workings of the heart were also carefully examined and described.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Dr. Yes.
Fahwani, you know, if you want to take a look now at the book of the Canon of Medicine and look at the translations done, okay, and because this book somehow, the materials mentioned in this book were transferred in different languages, we would like to say that the Arabic edition of Canon period appeared in Rome in 1593, and the Hebrew version also at Naples in 1491, and of the Latin version there were about 30 editions founded on the original translation by Gerardo Sablaneda, and in the 15th century a contemporary on the text of Canon was composed. And other works were translated into Latin, or the different books from that time were also translated. Dr. Fahwani, another important thing about Avicenna is doing the surgery and the experimental science he had. As I said, the practical and the experimental science was very important. He was also very, he was very master of displaying and showing some of his writing the surgical instruments. You know, some of the devices used in the surgery done, okay, like the scissors one, like the, I don't know, the bandages
needles.
One, that's right, the needles one. He showed them, and on that time, Ibn Sina was also very interested in the effect of the mind on the body. Something nowadays in the psychoanalysis and psychiatry, people are really, and the scholars are really doing searching a lot. But he was also, Avicenna has also other, discoveries and explorations. Let's have some of them in the field of medicine after taking a break, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, taking a break. I'm back in a minute.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. Created by the Master. Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine. You are very special. There's only one of you. You are very special. And remember, I love you.
Welcome back, dear audience from around the world. The rest of the program, The Immortals, which in this edition is mainly concerned with the works and biography of Avicenna, mainly known as Ibn Sina in Persian language. Okay, Dr. Fakhrani, you know, in the canon of medicine, also Ibn Sina or Avicenna encompasses emotional aspects, mental capacity, moral attitudes, self-awareness, and we can say he summarized his version of the four humors and temperaments in four cases, which nowadays can be found. That some people are of hot, we can say, nature, some people of cold, some people of moist, and some people of dry. Every of these has got some evidences, and in his book is mentioned nicely. Another important book, Dr. Fakhrani, as you said, is the Book of Healing, or as called in Persian language, Shefa, or as in Arabic, Ash-Shefa. Let's just talk a little bit about the Book of Healing. What was it exactly about, and in fact, what kinds of topics were exactly elaborated in this book?
Yes, actually, in the book, the Book of Healing, it talks about, the book deals with a range of, scholarships or branches of knowledge. It talks about earth sciences, about philosophy of science, about physics, and about psychology.
That's right.
It talks about these branches of knowledge. However, Ibn Sina, about earth sciences, or what's nowadays known as a geology, states that, as it's indicated in some documents, either they are about the formation of mountains, he talks in this way, says in this way, that either they are the effects of upheavals of the crust of the earth, such as might occur during a violent earthquake, or they are the effect of water, which, cutting itself a new route, has denuded the valleys, the strata being of different kinds, some soft, some hard, etc. It would require a long period of time for all such changes to be accomplished, during which the mountains themselves might be somewhat diminished in size. You find that he was really a genius in that, known as a physician, as a mathematician, and as a logician. He dealt with the formation of mountains in the way that it resembles a geologist, neither a philosopher, neither a mathematician, nor a physician.
In fact, in this book, as you said, in the Earth Sciences of the Book of Healing, Avicenna developed the concept of uniformitarianism, and that is the law, also the law of superposition in geology. And as you said, he talked very nice on the mountains. Another important part, Dr. Fakhrani, in the Book of Healing is about the philosophy of the science. Okay,
yes,
philosophy of science, and in the Al-Burhan, or on demonstration. Al-Burhan was, in fact, one section of the Book of the Healing. Avicenna discussed the philosophy of science and described an early scientific method of inquiry. What philosophy does he mean? Was he mainly concerned with the Aristotle one? Because in his life, when we delve into the life of Avicenna, we say that Avicenna, when for the first time read the books of Aristotle, he could not understand anything out of it. Anything. Even some people say that he got very much confused because he could not understand it. One day he gets to the Al-Farabi's book, a commentary on Aristotle, and through that book, which is found in a very, we can say, a bookshop, a very, we can say, out-of-date bookshop, okay? He finds it and pays some money for it and buys the Al-Farabi's book, the commentary on Aristotle, and then read into it. And they say, according to his sayings, I read for more than 40 times the Aristotle's book and the Aristotle philosophy, and I memorized it word by word. But I could not understand it, and then understood it through the Al-Farabi's or the Al-Farabi books. Was he mainly concerned with the Aristotle one in the philosophy?
To the best of our knowledge, Avicenna was initially impressed by Aristotle's book Posteria Analytics,
right.
But after mastering Aristotle's book, he diverged from it several times. I mean, he structured and built his own philosophical foundations in the philosophy of science. I should like to say that this is quite fascinating in the academic life of Avicenna, that he tried to learn the rudiments or the basic building blocks of, branches of knowledge from his predecessors. But since he was a really prodigy and profound intelligent, later on, in order to remedy the shortcomings of his predecessors, he came up with his own reclassification or with his own
methodology or roadmap
in the science concern.
In order to refer to this, I would like to say that Avicenna found deduction and the deductive manner in Aristotelian, in fact, posterior analytics. But after that, he added two other methods.
Yes.
The first method was the induction or istighra. And the other one was the principle of, we can say, experimentation and tajrubah. To these ones, in fact, in the philosophy of science and into the inquiries and scientific inquiries. Physics, Dr. Fakhrani, was also another important part which Avicenna was mainly concerned with, in fact, as the most important section in his book, The Book of Healing. What about physics? They say that Avicenna was the person who used, in fact, a thermometer in his studies. Is it true?
Yes, it's indicated. It's indicated in the book that Avicenna says in the Book of Heaven and Earth that heat was generated from motion in external things.
That's right.
And as such, he makes a theory. He tries to come up with some sort of explanation regarding the nature of heat.
Mm-hmm. And they say that he was the first one to use the thermometer.
Yes.
Thermometer in order to measure the temperature of the body, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Also, Dr. Fakhrani, in mechanics, Avicenna developed an elaborate theory of motion, okay?
Yes.
And he talked also very much about the air resistance. What about the psychology, Dr. Fakhrani? The classical psychology was primarily embodied in the Kitab al-Nafs, parts of Kitab al-Shifa, the Book of Healing, you know? Kitab al-Nafs was one important part of Kitab al-Shifa, which was mainly concerned with psychology. What about that one?
Yes, I should like to say that Avicenna's legacy in classical psychology was primarily bodied in the Kitab al-Nafs, comprising part of his Kitab al-Shifa, the Book of Healing, and also Kitab al-Najat, the Book of Deliverance. These were known in Latin under the title Du Anima, treatises on the soul. Well, the main thesis of these tracts or treatises is represented in his so-called flying man argument.
That's right.
Which resonates with what was centuries later entailed by Descartes' cogito argument, or what phenomenology designates as a form of an epoch.
That's right. The Avicenna's philosophy, Dr. Fakhrani, or Avicennism, was another important one which is rooted in the Islamic, early Islamic philosophy. You know, he writes a book called Danishname Alayi, okay? Would you explain about this book for us? What was exactly Danishname Alayi?
It was really an encyclopedia of... it was really an encyclopedia or a practical compendium to philosophy written in the Persian language, not in the Arabic language.
Sure.
And this is another contribution of Avicenna. Actually, in the medieval Islamic world, due to Avicenna's successful reconciliation between Aristotelianism and Neoplatonism, okay. along with Kalam, the Islamic branch of philosophy.
What is Kalam exactly?
Kalam means philosophical inquiry regarding the articles of faith. Not philosophy in its broadest sense. Philosophy as concerns religious beliefs, basic religious beliefs.
Well, which is very much rooted in the Islamic philosophy.
Avicennism eventually became the leading school of Islamic philosophy by the 12th century, with Avicenna becoming a central authority on philosophy, or in a better sense, in the Islamic philosophy, the effect of which is still evident in Islamic academic circles, such that in Muslim countries, when a person wants to study philosophy, the philosophical treatises of Avicenna are already requisites in order to attain higher degrees of knowledge and erudition in this regard.
Yes. And Dr. Farhani, you know that metaphysical doctrine was also another specialty of Avicenna, which we can say under metaphysics, he had a very much impact on the thoughts of Thomas Aquinas, and from the early Islamic philosophy and Islam metaphysics, embedded it is within Islamic theology and distinguished more than early Aristotelianism and these differences between the essence of existence. The difference between essence and existence was the concept and the theme Avicenna was very much interested in. You know, which is called in, you know, we can call it mahiyat, as we say, for essence, and wujud for existence. He also had very much elaboration on that part. Just in order to, we can say that Fakhruhani, just to enumerate, because we have only 1 or 2 minutes, we'd like to say that Avicenna had very much influence also in logic, in the natural philosophy, in the theology, thought experiments, and the astronomy and astrology, chemistry, engineering, and poetry, okay?
Yes.
And at the end of this program, I would like to read one part of his poetry.
Yes.
Which is translated into English language. He says, "Up from the earth's center through the seventh gate, I rose, and on the throne of Saturn sate, and many knots unraveled by the road, but not the master knots of human fate." Yes. This was, in fact, one of the interesting points. Of course, most of the time in the couplet forms. Some of his poems were attributed to Omar Khayyam, but later on it was discovered that these were... in fact, we can say the Avicenna's box. At the end of this program, Dr. Fakhruhani, I would like to say that at the end of his life, Avicenna accompanied Alaeddin on his trip to Hamadan and became critically ill. They say that the kind of illness he got and he was exposed to was called colic. You know, a kind of disease in the stomach and the liver. And he passed away in 1037 AD, 428 AH, at the age of 58, and was buried in Hamadan city. And after a turbulent and eventful life, we can call Avicenna as one of the most shining stars in the Iranian world, in the Islamic world, and in the Islamic studies. However, Dr. Fakhruhani, thank you very much for a nice elaboration on the works and lives of Avicenna, the great Iranian scholar, we can say mystic, theologian, astronomer, astrology, and all-knowing of the masters of the sciences of his life. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Thank you.
Dear Muslims from around the world, this is the end to another edition of the program, The Immortals, which is mainly concerned with the lives and works of the Persian as well as Muslim, specifically Shiite scholars in different fields of studies around the world. Thank you very much for listening to this program. You can also refer to our website at www.coiradio.com. Have a nice time and goodbye.